الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
And welcome to another session for today. As you can see, we are discussing the correct or the best way as how to grasp the intellect, and how should we understand to be intelligent people, as well as we want to know as how to live with dignity. We discussed that Imam Hussein alayhi salam promoted life. He did not ask us to, you know, to die, to commit suicide, rather to live with dignity. But how to live with dignity? We need that for our daily life. Imam Hussein taught us how to live. Of course, he taught us as how to die. As how to live happily as well. That's what he taught us as well. He taught us how to live happily without anxiety. Let's start with the first point, as it is a bit difficult, and there are some different definitions of what is meant, you know, by the intellect or being intelligent. We know that moral philosophers, and there are so many, you know, those who have worked with ethics, and there are moral philosophers, they have differentiated between two branch of the intellect. One is theoretical, one is practical, or what is called al-aql al-nazari, al-aql al-amali. So, theoretical and practical means that they are separated. Now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to teach us as he has established that only through assiduously adhering to the intellect that one can achieve a completed intellect. As he, I quote him having said, he says, لَنْ يَكْمُلَ الْعَقْلِ إِلَّا بِاتِّبَاعِ الْحَقِّ لَنْ يَكْمُلَ. So you haven't achieved perfection for your mind, for your intellect, unless you follow and adhere to it exactly. So only by adhering to the truth will intellect achieve perfection. What do we learn from that? We can learn from that that we should not learn, or rather not try to only gain knowledge without diligently following the knowledge that we have gained. Otherwise it's going to be a catastrophic condition for us before anyone else. You learn, and during the Day of Judgment you will be asked, why didn't you follow what you have learned? So why bother? It's better than to learn and to follow what you have learned. As some practical advice, he has taught us again to learn while sitting with intelligent individuals. I quote, sitting with the intelligent is a sign of successfulness. By the way, how can you detect someone is intelligent? The joke I was reading by some of those American websites here, they say that the American president went once to Her Majesty, as we know, you know, that two sides of the Atlantic, so they both speak English. So he went to Her Majesty, and he was talking to her, being invited to, you know, drinking English tea. So he was sitting with Her Majesty, and he asked her a question. How do you know that your politicians, how do you examine them? How do you know that they are intelligent? And she said, well, I do have this examination. Each and every politician I meet, then I can know and recognize whether they are intelligent or not. And then she said, the best way to tell you, to teach you, is actually to do it. Okay. She ordered Her Majesty, brought the phone. So she phoned the Prime Minister of England. Of that time, probably was it Tony Blair. Can you tell us, Tony Blair, your father has got a son. Your mother has got a son. But this is not your sister and it is not your brother. Who's that, dear Tony? He said, of course, Your Majesty, so simple, it's me, nobody else. Mm-hmm. Thank you, dearie. Tony, bye. She said, let it go, Mr. President. Now you can know how to examine your politicians. So he was so happy and thanked Her Majesty for returning back to the United States, you know. He said, the first time I have to examine some of my senators at the foreign policy. Well, we're talking about, you know, foreign policy. There is the unfixable problems of the Middle East. So he wanted to examine one of his senators, Jack Helms, whatever their name was. So he phoned them. Please, he summoned that man to the White House. Okay, can you please tell us? I'm having a question to you. Can you tell me if your father has got a son and your mother has got a child, the same son, and it is not your brother, it is not your sister? Who is it? After hems and hows, can you please let me come back to you after a few days, a few hours, just to think about that? All right, fine. You're dismissed. Went out and he directly called for a meeting at the Senate. And he called all his members of the Foreign Office to discuss about this very important question. So he asked them, can you please help us? We've got a very serious issue here. Who is, when is that your father has got a child, your mother has got a child, and this child is not your brother and it is not your sister. Who is it? They were all lost, of course. They couldn't say anything. That's a very complicated question, you know. You don't know who's that. You people, you don't know. How can you work for the Middle East and things, you know, get the unfixable problems to get resolved? So he called one of his, you know, trusted advisors. I don't know who was that, you know. Colin Powell or Dick Cheney, who knows. So he called him, hello, can you help me please? I've got a question to you. Who is it actually? If your father has got a son and your mother has got a son, but this son is not your brother, not your sister, who is it? The answer came from Paul. You're dumb. Of course it is me. Oh, thank you. Switched off, called directly and went to the White House. Mr. President, he was so happy and excited. I got the answer. What is it? He asked. Mr. President, I got the answer. It is Colin Powell. No. The president was so annoyed, he said, you dumb. No, it is Tony Blair. got it wrong. So, sitting with intelligence is a sign of successfulness. Can you tell me, what will that policy end up in the Middle East? Well, they have already called it actually an unfixable, problem of the Middle East. Well, they call it unfixable. I don't know. Anyway, I just had to elaborate more on this, saying from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he said, sitting with the intelligent is a sign of successfulness. What does he mean by that? He wants to tell us that if you want to succeed, learn how to achieve this from the intelligent individual. That's what he wants us to know. Again, you have to know how to know who is the intelligent, not by following that examination and test of Her Majesty. There are other ways, actually. Another quote from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I quote, "Disputation with other than disbelievers is a sign of ignorance." That's really it. It's going to apply to each and every one of us. We waste our time with nonsense, discussing things that have no value at all. Haven't you heard about philosophers discussing which one comes first? Is it the egg or the chicken? Some long discussions. And some of them has just resolved that at the Foreign Office, that it is actually the egg, being so intelligent. Imam Hussein is actually giving us a practical advice. He says, disputations with other than disbelievers, when you find that this may lead to disbelief, it is at least worth discussing. There's something important. I wouldn't say we should not discuss important issues in our life. Those important issues, practical issues, that they may lead to that your son, for example, is going to go astray or be deviated from the right path. Yes, you have to do it because this is a form of a disbelief. Because what is meant by disbelief here is kuf. And what do we mean by kuf here? It's broader sense of kuf. It's not like kuf to be a pure atheist. No, this is not what does he mean. He means by kuf here in this context, it's broader sense of kuf, which applies to be not a practicing Muslim, not to follow what is your duty, not to do what you have to do, and not to believe what you must believe. As Quran has mentioned, actually, that broader, meaning of kuf, when the ayah, the verse of Hajj saying, it states, لِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنَ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَى سَبِيلًا, until it ends up like that. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. So if you want to be a disbeliever, now here we're asking, what does it mean? وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. It means that if you do not want to perform Hajj, so if you do not want to perform Hajj, are you going to be kafir? And that, specific meaning of kuf, i.e. to be an atheist. No, this does not mean that. He means, and Quran means, it's broader meaning of kuf. What we call it here, al-kufr al-akhlaqi, ethical disbelief. So he wants to teach us, disputation with other than disbelievers is a sign of ignorance. And do not discuss with your sons or your daughter matters that are, quite banal things. There are not such important issues. Whether it's got a long beard or a short beard, whether she's got a long and dull clothes to reflect that she's a good muhajjaba or not. The main point is chastity. That's what it's all about. So we have to focus on what's the most important thing in our life and discuss them and try to achieve and get something. So, the conclusion I came here about this narration is that do not waste your time with matters of nonsense. Really, sometimes these things are just, you know, nonsense. But rather focus on fundamental issues. Fine. Discussing about other issues, i.e. some practical advices. A practical advice like what? A sign of a scholar is his self-criticism of his sayings and his acquaintance with the various hypotheses. So there are two conditions. First of all, we have to be critical about our own sayings. This is first. Second is to be acquainted with the various hypotheses. This is the second condition. What I have concluded from that actually is that knowledge actually recognizes no limits. You must be looking at things from various angles. Look at it from this side, look at it from this side. The more you're looking at things, the same thing, from various angles, the more you are going to come with a more balanced and all-inclusive conclusion. Never pretend, this is again another case, which is quite important for us. Never pretend to be a scholar or a knowledgeable man. Now this is important. It said that once there was a Jewish delegate who came to Medina and they said, we want to meet the Prophet of you Muslims. There were some, you know, high rabbis. We wanted to meet your Prophet, O Muslims. They told them, oh, long time, he passed away. So they brought them from the house of Allah, from Kaaba, to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. There were some Shia Muslims there. So they brought them to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So he asked him, can I ask you? Salma Badalak, come on. And he said, هَلْ أَنْتَ مِنْ عُلَمَائِهَا أَمْ مِنْ جُهَالِهَا? Are you one of the scholars? Or are you an ignorant? You see, who's talking here? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It's not like, you know, Marja Taqlid or any of those scholars. When he asks him, are you a scholar? Are you an ignorant? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is talking. The one who inherited all imams and all prophets before his time. You know what did he reply? That was a good test actually for him. He said, I am not amongst those ignorants. Let's do min juhariya. He didn't pretend to be a scholar, a knowledgeable man. Because in our narration it has been confirmed, do not ever think about yourself that you are a knowledgeable man. The moment you think you are a knowledgeable man, you are in complete ignorance. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied spontaneously, he said, Lashtu min juhaya. I'm not an ignorant at all. Which means, well, you may ask, that's what he said. Otherwise, now if you think like that, this is my conclusion. Otherwise, before too long, you will discover that in reality, you are an ignorant. So what should you remember? Always remember that you are a student who is seeking knowledge. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. What did he say? اطلب العلم من المهدي إلى اللحد. From the cradle when you were born until the day you die. This is the prophetic tradition, which means that you are seeking knowledge. And the best thing I can recollect that we have learned in Hawza Ilmi and in the Shia advanced seminaries, they taught us, remember, you are talabe. What does it mean talabe? Talabe means a student. You're just learning. So, if you have learned from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I want you to recite loudly salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Again, listen to Imam Hussein as how to live happily without anxiety. Very practical and good advice for each and every one of us. I quote, he says, beware of things for which you apologize. The true believer should not make mistakes and should not apologize. What does he mean by that? Does he mean that if we have committed any mistakes or any sin, we should not apologize for what we have done? Because he said here, not make mistakes and should not apologize. So you should not apologize. Is that what he means? No, he didn't mean that. Actually, he is teaching us as how to reflect upon consequences of whatever we are going to do before doing it. And once we have done it, we have thought enough, or thought twice about it. So once you have done it, you have done it all correctly. You don't need to apologize for that. Now if someone has done their best, they have been thinking, reflecting about that, and they were, you know, calculating what are the consequences, and they miscalculated or they got it wrong, and they did it wrong, and they have committed that mistake or that sin. So what does it mean? Well, I have concluded here that one should struggle to remain on the right path, thoroughly reflect on consequences, and be sufficiently aware as to not commit a sin which would require a subsequent apology. However, this is the point, however, it does not mean that when someone realizes his mistakes, he should not apologize. Oh no. What is actually widely spread amongst us, I would say here, Arabs. So, forgive me, please, you know, Iranians, Afghani, Pakistani. I'm only addressing Arabs here. They say, كلمه الرجل وحده. What does it mean, كلمه الرجل وحده? The man has got only one word. So if he got it wrong, he should not confess that he has done it wrong. Why? Because he's a man. Who said that? I don't know, I haven't heard that actually from Iranians or Pakistani, from Indian subcontinent. But I did hear it from Arabs. Who said that? That a man has got only one word. Who are you to have only one word? Huh? كلمه الرجل وحده. Who are you? Are you God or who are you? The only thing you can say and pretend that you have thought thoroughly before deciding what to do. And is that all? By the way, they say كلمة الرجل, It's not كلمة المرأة. يعني المرأة, she's got it all wrong. Who said that? I have seen so many females of our family members, and it's all the time the female, the woman, is wiser than her husband. So many times. And when they were discussing, I was thinking and looking, this is a man and this is a woman. And he got it all wrong and she was right. And of course, what he's going to end up the discussion saying, what? I am the man. وكلمة الرجل واحدة. Who said that? Can you please tell me whether any of our imams, infallibles, ma'sumin, has ever told us that the man has got only one word? No. Well, I have done extensive research And I have never been able to find such a narration. The only thing actually I got is this narration from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which says, do not do things and then say sorry and apologize for that. Well, it has nothing to do with that at all. It's irrelevant. What he's trying to teach us, think, my dear. And think twice. Think thoroughly. That's what he wants to teach us. Because God hates those who do things and apologize. And they repeat it again and again and again. Why? Only because he says, the hypocrite makes mistakes and apologizes every day. So we have learned that once you know, or once you have realized that you are wrong, when you have realized your mistakes, you should apologize. So kalimat al-rajul is incorrect to say is wahda. No. Kalimat al-rajul, when he is wrong, is to say, I am sorry. That's what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. He said, Al-khatta'una kathirun. All of you may commit and do mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. This is what we have learned from our Imams and our Prophets. And who said that the man has got only one word? I don't know where this stems from, so if you can help me, you know, welcome. So the hypocrite, according to Imam Hussein, is the one who makes mistakes and apologizes every day. Now again, we see what I tried to conclude from this narration. As a hypocrite acts without reflecting upon the consequences, so what's happened? He frequently commits mistakes and apologizes every day. Not only that, I couldn't help adding, sometimes she or he does not even bother to say sorry for any mistakes as well. Why? Because they think they are knowledgeable. They don't need even, you know, to say sorry. Fortunately, this is the problem of some of our Shia brothers and sisters. But I was mainly addressing here Arabs, because I know our community. And I have heard them saying that. Kilmat al-Rajul Wahdi. Who said Kilmat al-Rajul Wahdi? Fine. Another spiritual result. Again, one of our social problems that we are suffering from it in our societies. Speaking about what's called ghibah, backbiting. I was trying to find a very, you know, vulgar image of a dog. Well, that's the best word I could find. I'm sorry, it looks again friendly sometimes. Why? Because Quran has attempted to manifest it in its ever most way you can imagine. Quran says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلِ. يَأْكُلُ what? Eating what? لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ, the brother, meat of your brother, مَيِّتًا. Now, مَيِّت means after it has died and its body starts to decompose, you know? What's going to happen? What we call it actually in Arabic, جِيفَ. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيِّتًا فَكَرَهْتُمُوهُ. Now who's talking here? That was the Quranic revelation. Now I'm quoting Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He said to someone who had backbitten another in his presence. It's not that Imam Hussein has done that. No. He heard someone has done it. And can you see his reaction? Listen. Stop backbiting. Pif. Tawakkaf an al-ghibah, he said. Stop backbiting. For it is the daily meal of the dogs of hell. And it has been confirmed by other narrations actually. Al-ghibatu idamu kilabi ahl al-nar. It's exactly as what has been narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Al-ghib, yani, that act actually, it's the food that will be given to you. Who are you? We're not talking about normal human beings, we're talking about dogs. Somebody's calling. So this is the dog. See? Dog. I hope by watching this dog you will never commit backbiting again, inshallah. Because it is a danger for Muslim Ummah. Really it is a danger for Muslim Ummah. We have it in our society, unfortunately, and it is widely spread. You know, as Imam Hussein has confirmed, it is daily meal. It became for some people, you know, like a daily meal. They cannot enjoy sitting together, socializing without ghibah, backbiting, you know, speaking about others. And have you seen that? Haven't you heard this? Haven't you seen this? Especially amongst women and, you know, nowadays, young men, you know, it's widely spread. And I remember one of our ladies, she said, you know, Sheikh, everything is haram in Islam. Socializing with wine, alcohol, everything haram, haram. So there you go, we got only ghibah and all this stuff. So it is what? Like an alternative, a substitute to wine and alcohol and all that. Who said that? I don't know where you got that all from. You said, Sheikh, كل حرام ما بغض بس غيبة احنا نستأنس بيهم نتعارك ونتهامش. I quoted her, believe me, exactly what she said. She said, Westerners socializing with wine, alcohol, weed, this is haram. So what do? We socialize with ghibah. Well, remember, you'll become like that dog. If you want to end up like that dog during the day of judgment, the choice is yours. Backbiting, this is our conclusion, is a social danger for Muslims, first. Second, stop the backbiter. Don't say, well, I didn't say that, she said this. Oh yeah, but you're sitting there. Imam Hussein, in this context, he was only sitting there. He did not say anything wrong. But once he heard that, upon hearing someone who was backbiting, he stopped him. Because in our narration it says, احذروا الغيبة واحذروا السماع الغيبة. Don't even listen to ghibah. Why? فإن السامع أحد المغتابين or مغتابين. Depends on how many, you know, the social gathering is, you know. If we're talking about 5 or 6, pieces of them, so you know, 5, 6 people, أحد المغتابين. If one of you said backbiting someone, you have to stop them. Say, stop. And we were in a gathering, I remember, and one of us started speaking, you know, bad about someone. I said, please, stop it. Forget it. No, you listen. I said, please, stop it. There is no need for that. The guy is not here to defend himself. No, you don't know, Sheikh. I said, please. And then he carried on. I said, okay, fine. I left the room, stand beside the door. And after 5 minutes, knocking the door. Hello, have you finished backbiting? In front of everyone, he couldn't. He was really annoyed and provoked. He said, no, not yet. Okay. Carry on. After another 5 minutes, knocking the door. Have you finished backbiting? Say, yes. Okay. At least you have to stop them. If you couldn't, leave. And I do remember, I said, this is a true story. I have heard that from my father. He said, we were sitting amongst a group of physicians and doctors. And he said, we were like 5 or 6, you know, doctors. One of us left our meeting. And the moment he left, one of us started blah, 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 you know, speaking, you know, backbiting. And he said, I listened to them. I said, the man was just here. Why didn't you say, well, he was here? Oh, no, no, you know, and then they carried on. He said, stop. Didn't work. So the other guy said, Assalamu alaikum, thank you, brothers, bye. He went out. And again, once he left, upon his leaving the meeting, they started blah, blah, blah. And then my father said, I couldn't help saying, please, I'm going to leave now. So if you have anything to say badly about me, say it while I'm here. So I can hear you, I can defend myself. This is what we call it, backbiting. It is a responsibility for each and every one of us that we should stop it. It is a social danger for our society, and it is one of the main reasons and crucial factors for our divisions. Why? Because we feel just hatred, and we are so weak to speak about what we believe in. If you believe in something, if there is something wrong, if someone has done wrong to you, go directly to him and tell him, sorry my dear, you have done that, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I am annoyed, I don't feel comfortable with that, I should have told you, and I'm not satisfied with that. You don't need to speak here and there and repeat that again and again. What are you going to achieve? Well, really, I don't know. In our narration it says, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, إِنَّ الْغِيبَةِ جُهْدُ الْعَاجِزِ. When you are just so weak and you can't help doing anything, you just start backbiting. That's all. And remember, one would metamorphose. This is my conclusion. If one carried out on backbiting, remember, have you seen that dog properly, or should we make it more bright and sharp? If you have seen that dog and you have learned the lesson, I want you to recite loudly so. Actually, it was a loud salawat from our brothers. I didn't hear our sister. So would you please all recite loudly salawat? Another practical lesson. For the wayfarer is to emulate the divine attributes. Follow. We have actually a narration which says, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Iranian scholars could not help adding that narration into the beginning and the preamble of the institution, the constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran, while writing that. Check it, you'll find this narration. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. You have to emulate the divine attributes in your actions, in your deeds, and learn as to follow the divine attributes. Although I could not find this narration in any of our, you know, compilations of hadith, and if anyone has, you know, found that, please help me. But it is a widely spread and accepted narration. Now, we can somehow draw that conclusion from this narration from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he says, someone said in front of Imam Hussein, I quote, that favors were worthless if done to other than their own people. Imam Hussein alayhi salam commented on that. La, laysa kama dhaka. No, this is inaccurate. Favors should be like the heavy rain that covers both the pious and the sinful. إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ الْفَضِيلَةِ حِينَمَا تَعَمْ وَتَشْمِلُ الْفَاسِقَ وَالْمُؤْمِنِ. This is ma'roof. Or in another narrations we read, اعمل المعروف. So do what is good. Do the charity. فَإِنْ أَصَبْتَ أَهْلَهِ. If you have done it with those people who deserve it, so you've done it. Thanks heaven. وَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلَهِ. If they were not They did not deserve your charity, your good deeds towards them. فَأَنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلَهُ At least, أَنْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَعْرُوفِ And unfortunately, our social, you know, haven't you heard us, some of our brothers and sisters saying, listen, see all what I have done to them, see what they have done to us. We have just been so good to them, and they have just, you know, reacted in a negative, bad way. I know it feels really hard, and it hurts. I know that. I agree. I've been through that. Don't tell me that it is not. Yes, it is hard. I agree with you. It hurts. Yes. For God's sake, it hurts. I know that. But do you have other choice? You just have to be like that. There are people who are wrong. They're just wrong. I don't know. Noah carried on 950 years doing good things, teaching, preaching his own people. You know, 950 years. And he just carried on and walked and carried on the right path. He didn't stop. Inni da'awtuhum. And then, you know, as some of the meaning of Quranic verses, after 950 years, it's hopeless. He confessed to the Divine Almighty Allah. So, our conclusion is that emulate the Divine in His attributes as He gives even to those who do not deserve His gifts. يَا مَنْ مَوَاهِبُهُ عَامَّةٌ وَشَامِلَةٌ يَا مَنْ لَا يَعْتَدِي عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ مَمْلِكَتِهِ Don't you recite that during the days and nights of Ramadan? The holy month of Ramadan. Isn't it? See how people were sinful, atheists as well. They received all divine gifts. And they wouldn't even bother to say, thank you, Allah. Why? Because Allah is Ar-Rahman. Well, we say Ar-Rahman because His Rahmah, His mercy would apply to all those sinful or pious people. This is Ar-Rahmatil Rahmaniyah as it is classified in our tafsir. As they have espoused polytheism, atheism, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them of His gifts. Now, another practical lesson. That is how to comment. How to comment on others' statement, other people's statement. It has been narrated that Abu Dharr, you know Abu Dharr, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, one of the honest companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Would you please recite loudly salawat? He said that I prefer to be sick rather than to be healthy. I prefer to be poor rather than being rich, etc. All what is combined with hardship and severe circumstances. You know how Imam Hussein has reacted in a very polite way while giving his option. That is his contribution in a polite way. Rahimallahu Akhi Abu Dharr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant mercy upon Abu Dharr. Walakinni aqul. But I would say, you see, such a polite man and such a polite, you know, way as to address and say his comment. He's an infallible, remember. He's an imam. He's the last one of Ahlul Kisa. But he was so polite in putting his comments in a smart way. But I would say. But I say, if someone relies on the fact that Almighty Allah will only choose for him what is best for him, then he wouldn't wish or desire anything more than what Almighty Allah has chosen for him. And then he would be satisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you. This doesn't mean that we believe in what's called predestiny, you know, predeterminism, that everything has been decided for us. No, we have to struggle, we have to work hard. But imagine that you have done your best, you have worked, you have been struggling, you ended up not that rich. Poor. Poor chap. I know he has no chance nowadays to keep his wife nowadays. She would say, goodbye. It is hard, but do you have any other option? You have to say, Alhamdulillah. Remember, this is our conclusion. First, that a wayfarer, regardless of whatsoever you may wish, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for you. So be happy with what He has chosen for you. That's first. Second, be polite while commenting on the opinions of others. This does not only apply to those who are Muslims. No. Even though those who are non-Muslims, be polite. This applies sometimes even to our, you know, Shia scholars in Hawza al-Mir. They could be sometimes so harsh, you know, against each other. Like, can you help with a good example from our Shia Jewish brothers? Ibn Idris, for example, while speaking about Sheikh Tusi, was so impolite. أَنْظُرْ فِي كَلَامِهِ هَذَا تَفْحَكُ مِنْهُ الثَّقْلَ blah blah blah. It was really sometimes harsh. Anyway, this is a good lesson for us, and we have learned that we should be polite. Again, another lesson for us, that is to be a spiritual wayfarer. How to be, by the way, a spiritual wayfarer? You know, a salik? What do you mean by a suluk? Suluk ila Allah. Or what is called nowadays in Ulama Irfan, they call it Sayru Suluk. Sayru Suluk is all to be summarized in this Quranic verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That's what it's all about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty, stated in His Holy Quran, I did not create human beings or jinns for only one reason. What's that reason? So that they should, if you translate it literally, would be worship me. Worship. لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The fact is that this is not what is meant by this Quranic verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our worship. He wouldn't care you pray or you don't pray, fast or you don't fast. What would add to His mightiness if you pray or you don't pray? If you say subhanallah, by the way, some of the Irfani Maslak, you know, scholars, those who are mystics, they have worked in mysticism, they say, if you remember the name of Allah, that's going to be a form of being impolite. Who are you to mention the name of the Lord? اعلم ان المسبح والذاكر اما جاهل او مسيء الادب. So he doesn't need your worship. Whether you pray or you don't pray, fast or you don't fast, what would add to His mightiness? No. What is meant actually by this Quranic verse is actually knowledge. ليعرفون. And that's what has been actually translated or explained by another narration. It's a hadith Qudsi. It says, مَنْ طَلَبَنِي وَجَدَنِي. Those who seek me, they are going to find me. وَمَنْ وَجَدَنِي عَرَفَنِي. Those who are going to find me, they will know me. عَرَفَنِي. They will receive the enlightenment in their hearts. وَمَنْ عَرَفَنِي عَشَقَنِي. وَمَنْ عَشَقَنِي عَشَقْتُهُ. Once you have reached that level of knowing God, submitting all your hearts to your Lord, and then you would become like Imam Hussein a.s. As it has been narrated from him, these poetry, تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ طُرًا فِي هَوَاكَ وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعِيَالِ. I made my family to be orphans, only to meet you. That's meeting Allah, liqa Allah. So remember, by knowing your Lord, you access the ability to achieve anything. However, if you fail, you can count yourself as a complete failure. Imam Hussein says, and I'm quoting here from his dua of Arafah, when he says, "Oh Allah, what did he find who lost you? Mada wajada man faqadak," he says. "And what did he lose who found you? O mada faqada man wajadak." Mada wajada man faqadak, o mada faqada man wajadak. So if you have reached enlightenment in your heart, if you know your Lord, you got something. If you haven't, remember that you are a complete failure. So he refers to the great treasure that a wayfarer should achieve, which is to give and submit his entire heart to the Lord. Conclusions? And that is, first, Imam Hussein promoted life over death, but most important of all, he taught us how to live with dignity and how to die with honor. Second, he taught us how to live with dignity by struggling to learn, know, submit ourselves and our hearts to complete worship and love of him, and to reach the status of servitude. Third, he taught us how to live with a high standard of moral values and to imitate the divine attributes. Four, by adhering to his ethical teachings, we will have a prosperous, happy life free of anxiety. And the last is that if the wayfarer wants to achieve perfection, he must give and submit his entire heart to the Lord. I would add, no one but the Lord. I'm sorry that has been taking such a long time. Let us recite Dua Imam Zaman. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hujja ibn al-Hasan صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أستغفر الله لكم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.